If you were paying attention at all during the scripture reading, which I assume all of you are just focused on every word that is read because it's from God's word, you probably noticed that it's kind of a unique way of looking at things, isn't it? I mean, to be honest, it's so unique that it seems backwards, or what I might call upside down, the opposite of what one would expect to be true. I remember looking through a magnifying glass one time. If anybody's ever done that, I don't know exactly how it works, but if you can look through a magnifying glass at certain distances or certain objects, they get inverted. It has something to do with optics and science and all stuff I don't understand. And yet it seems like Jesus is trying to give us an inverted view of the world, to tell us that things are upside down compared to most of what we learn in this world. And yet it's apparent Jesus just isn't telling us in this passage that things are different than they may seem. He's calling us in this passage to live life upside down. Now, what does it mean to live life upside down? It doesn't mean this, although that looks like it might be kind of fun, right? Next one, wrong way. It doesn't mean this, although I've done that, and that can actually be very relaxing. It's not a bad way to spend a good part of your day. Living life upside down also does not mean this, hanging off the edge of a cliff with a rope wrapped around your ankles. And I'm thankful for that, because if that is what Jesus means by living life upside down, I'm out, right? I'm having no part of that. Living life upside down seems more to have to do with seeing things the way Jesus saw them, which is very different than the way the world sees them. Living life upside down, if it isn't what those pictures represented, then what does it look like? I think one reason we hold up saints is because we need to be reminded of what living life upside down looks like. We need to be reminded of folks who seem to be able to see the world differently and to live it differently. One person who might be an example of what living life upside down looks like is Monica of Hippo. Monica is the mother of Augustine. Now, if any of you know anything about church history, Augustine was a famous theologian. But she's not up here. She's not considered a saint because of her son. Augustine, when he became a young man, turned his back on the faith that his mother had raised him in. And she began to pray. Not for 1 year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. She prayed relentlessly for her son for 17 years. And eventually he came back to Christ. Monica kind of saw things in an upside down kind of way, didn't she? Being able to pray for that long, never losing hope, never giving up, believing beyond all rational evidence that somehow, some way, her prayers were going to be answered. It's part of maybe what living life upside down looks like. And then there's St. Francis. St. Francis is often known for the way he preached to animals, the way that he would go out in the woods and practice his sermons, preaching to God's creation. That's why you often see him with a squirrel, a rabbit, a bird. But Francis also kind of had an upside-down way of looking at the world. He came from a very, very wealthy family, and when he insisted on pursuing the Christian faith and of giving his life in service to the Christian faith, his dad threatened to take away all of his wealth, to withhold all of his worldly possessions. Francis had such a way of looking at things kind of upside down that he went one step further. He walked into where his father was and said, "Not only do I not want your possessions, I don't want anything that came from you," and stripped down completely, naked nude, as my tour guide in Greece used to say, and walked away refusing to take anything that his father had given him. kind of an upside down way of living. Catherine of Siena, another saint, she had a custom of giving away clothing and food without asking anyone in her family's permission. They were kind of upset by her giving away their possessions to others. And she could have left. In fact, they probably wanted her to leave and stop acting like this. But she stayed in their midst, believing she could live out her rejection of them more strongly if she stayed a part of the family. She refused to take anything from her family, saying she didn't want their food, but she just looked ahead to that banquet in heaven that she would join in one day with what she referred to as her real family, the family of Christ. And then there's Catherine William Booth from the Salvation Army. We all, even today, know what their work was about. We continue it in our food pantry collection. As the Industrial Revolution was firing up and the gap between the haves and the have-nots was becoming more and more prevalent, they took it upon themselves to reach out. Excuse me, I'm having trouble with this morning. To reach out and to care for those that couldn't care for themselves. And the last example I want to share this morning is this gentleman. It's Father Nelson Baker from Buffalo. If anybody's from Buffalo, if you know anything about Our Lady of Victory Basilica in Lackawanna, Father Baker, at the time of his death in 1936, had created what some have called a city of charity. He had built not only a small church, but a home for infants, a home for unwed mothers, a boys' orphanage, and a hospital. Father Baker took it upon himself to live his life trying to care for those that the society wanted to cast to the edges, that society saw as worthless, as unwanted. All of these folks in some way, shape, or form seem to have a grasp of living life upside down, a way of doing that. Now, I try to think, what makes a saint a saint? And I think if I just went around saying, well, a saint is someone who lives life upside down, people like maybe even some of you would look at me kind of funny. But I came across this quote recently, and it was attributed to somebody, but I couldn't confirm that, so I'm just going to share it with you. I think it is my job to make the grace of an invisible God visible wherever I am. To me, that sounds like a pretty good description of a saint, a pretty good description of all those people that I've shown you pictures of this morning. It's also a pretty good description of how Jesus calls us to live, to be able to live in ways that make the grace of an invisible God visible. The way we relate to others, the way we deal with adversity, the way we reach out to the poor and to the oppressed and to the marginalized, the way we spend time in service to God and to others, the way we set aside time to come and worship on Sunday mornings, are all ways that we can make God's grace visible. Now, not everybody can be a hero of the faith, if you will, a saint with a capital S. But all of us can live life upside down sometimes, in some ways. Saint Therese of Lisieux looked around at other people and was amazed at how much grace they seemed to have in their life, was amazed at what God had done in certain individuals' lives, the way God worked through them, the way they were instruments for God, the way their life seemed to be so completely dedicated to God by their holiness, by their sacrifice. And she likened them to like lilies and roses in a garden, those flowers that stand out, that everybody can see, that everybody goes, oh, what beautiful roses, or oh, what a wonderful lily. But she saw also that not everyone was able to be a rose or a lily. Not everyone was able to be someone who so obviously and so consistently mirrored God's grace. And she was given a vision of the little flowers in the garden. You know, those things like violets and daffodils and all those other flowers that may not jump out like a rose or a lily, but that are still beautiful. She likened herself to one of these little flowers who was still important, who still showed and shared God's grace. Most of us are probably destined to be little flowers. The ones that are more likely to touch the life of someone sitting next to you, or of a family member, or of someone you pass in the street, than to make a large impact in which the whole world notices. We all have those little flowers in our own life, I believe, too. Those who made God's grace visible to us in ways that maybe no one else even knows about. I have a few of my own. As I was writing this sermon, I tried to think of examples of people that made God's grace visible to me. I remember Judy and Jerry May. Allison and I had just moved to Kentucky, had no job, little savings, seminary bills that would be looming, and an apartment that we rented unseen. And uninvited, unannounced, Jerry and Judy showed up on our doorstep with a bag of groceries. Not a big bag. Not enough to feed us for a couple weeks or a month. But they showed up with a visible sign of God's grace for us. And then I remember Dave and Mary. Dave and Mary, who exhibited such incredible strength in the midst of grief when their 11-year-old son died of a rare blood disease. They exhibited a strength that left me shaken and wondering, would I be able to be as strong and as faithful if the same thing happened to me? You probably have your own examples. Those people who made God's grace visible to you. Those people, even if maybe just once in relationship to you, lived life upside down and touched you in a way that surprised you. One of the problems when we remember people in the church is it's easy to remember what they did wrong, their flaws, how they may not have been like Jesus. I remember talking to a Catholic monk one day, and he asked me, he goes, do you know why in the Catholic Church they have to wait for 50 years until someone can be made a saint? And I said, I have no clue. And he said, it's so everybody who really knows them and could object are dead. So remembering saints, remembering those who have gone before us, remembering those who touched our lives is not about remembering perfect people, but it's remembering people who in some way made God's grace visible to us. And you probably have a few of those people yourself, a few of those folks that if you thought about it, would be saints for you. And so today we come to remember a few people who have died in this past year, but we also come to remember those who have touched us, whether living or dead. And we come to hear Jesus' call to live life upside down, that we too might touch others, that we too might make the grace of an invisible God visible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.